Good morning.
Good morning.
And a very happy new year to everybody. It's lovely to welcome 2020, welcome everybody to worship here at Water Lane this morning. Particular welcome to Pat James from the Cheadle Hume Church in the Circuit. Lovely to have you with us this morning, Pat, and look forward to you leading us through the worship. If there are young people, I think they'll probably be staying in, unless anybody tells me otherwise. I think the young people are staying in with us. There will be coffee and visitors. For visitors, everybody is welcome to join us for coffee. Apart from that, I think there are no other notices. We will begin our service with music from the choir.
Thank you and Happy New Year to you all. Let's pray. Sovereign God, we are reminded today of the journey of the Magi, of how they stepped out into the unknown, persevering despite adversity, seeking diligently until their quest was rewarded. We come today to worship Jesus, to understand what his birth, life, death, and resurrection mean for us. Help us to discover each day a little more of your love and to discern more of your gracious purpose, so that in turn we may offer each moment a little more of our lives in joyful thanks, in glad thanksgiving, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first hymn is number 228, Hail to the Lord's Anointed. Verse 4 says, Kings shall fall down before him and golden incense bring. All nations shall adore him, his praise all people sing. So let's stand as we are able and sing number 228. In our church calendar, this Sunday is called Christmas 2, so we're going to be looking at one of the Christmas stories. And somewhere around the church there are some wooden figures and some objects, and I wonder if anybody would like to go and look for them and bring them to the front. Some of them are at the front, and some of them are... They're not well hidden. They're quite easy to see. Oh, that's wonderful. That's one of the objects. Oh, and here comes another one. Thank you. Do you want to have a look, see if you can find any of your figures? Oh, there's a figure. Let's pop these on here. Oh, and there's a figure. And there's a figure. Oh, now I've obviously hidden... There should be three of these. I've obviously hidden the other one too well. Oh, no, we've spotted it at the back there. Thank you. So, these figures look a little bit different to the wonderful knitted ones that you've got here, but who do you think our story's about today? Look at... The three magi, the three kings? What were you going to say? The three kings. Yes, you're right, it is the three kings. So I'll put them down there. And we've got three objects. Why have we got three containers? Why do you think we've got three containers? The gifts, yes, they brought three gifts, didn't they? What can anybody tell me what the gifts were? Can anybody tell me one of them? Gold was one. Frankincense and myrrh. So the kings brought three gifts to Jesus. Does anybody know the names of the kings? Now, this is a bit of a trick question because actually the Bible doesn't tell us what they were called. But I think that hundreds of years ago, somebody wrote a nativity play and they gave the kings names. Does anybody know what they were? Yes. Casper was one of them. Melchior. Balthazar. Yes, excellent. So that's the names of the three kings. So today we're going to be looking at the story of the three kings. And now we're going to come to our prayer of praise. So let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for the great truth at the heart of this season, your coming to our world in Christ. We praise you that you go on coming day after day, not just to others, but also to us, meeting and working within us through your Holy Spirit. Forgive us everything that obstructs your coming, or the trivia and irrelevancies with which we fill our lives at the cost of time for you, or the cares, doubts, and unbelief that prevent us sometimes from even glimpsing your presence. Come afresh now and break through all the barriers in our lives so that we may know that you are by our side and draw ever closer to you than we have ever been before. Speak your word, grant your guidance, confer your power, and fill us with your love so that we may serve you as faithfully as you have served us in Christ. In his name we ask it. Amen. And now we're going to have a reading from Isaiah.
Reading from Isaiah 60, verses 1 to 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar. Your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your hearts shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels from Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. Amen.
Thank you. The choir will now lead our worship with the anthem, Sing Lullaby. Thank you. Our next hymn may be new to you, but I think you'll recognise the tune. It's number 222. Who would think that what was needed? Let's stand as we are able and sing number 222. Here, didn't need my coat. We're going to read Psalm 72 together. This psalm was written for King Solomon, but as I read it, I was struck by how many of the themes relate to Jesus, our King. And I wonder, can we divide sort of down the middle somewhere? And if the people on this side would like to read the words in light type, and if you're sitting on this side, if you'd like to read the words in dark type. So Psalm 72. Give the King your justice, O God.
And your righteousness to a king's son.
May he judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. May the mountains yield prosperity for the people. May he defend the cause of the poor of the people.
Give deliverance to the needy and crush the oppressor.
May he live while the sun endures.
And as long as the moon throughout all generations.
May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass.
Like showers that water the earth.
In his days may righteousness flourish.
And peace abound until the moon is no more.
May the kings of Tarshish and of the isles render him tribute.
May the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts.
May all kings fall down before him.
All nations give him service.
For he delivers the needy when they call.
The poor and those who have no helper.
Amen. We come to our prayer of confession. Let us pray. Gracious God, you know how much we want to serve you. We have resolved to live more faithfully so many times that we have lost count. Yet, somehow, when the moment of challenge comes, we are found wanting. Despite the good we long to do, we fall victim yet again to the same old weaknesses, unable to conquer the feebleness of our sinful nature. Have mercy, O God, and renew us through your Holy Spirit. Cleanse us through the love of Christ, and put a new heart and a right spirit within us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As we worked out at the start of our service, our gospel reading today is about the visit of the wise men to the infant Jesus. And so we sing number 224, As with gladness men of old did the guiding star behold. Let's stand as we are able and sing number 224. Good morning. Happy New Year. Thank you for inviting me to talk to you today. My name's Joel. I work for Melchior. Have you heard of him? Yes? and his mates Caspar and Balthazar. Important people they are. They study the stars. I look after the camels. See that they have all the food and the water they need. Load them up with goods. See that they're evenly balanced. It's difficult carrying a pack that's lopsided. Slows everything down. And you don't want to be slowed down when you're plodding through the desert. We get to travel quite a lot, going to visit relatives, going to visit other astrologers. He's well off, is Melchior. Doesn't have to worry about money. Not like me, always wondering if my pay will stretch to the end of the week. He's so well off, some people call him a king. His house isn't quite as grand as a palace, but it is posh. Not that I've ever been allowed inside, smelling of camel. I should think not. But I've heard about it from the house servants. The rugs, the comfortable beds, the posh china. But I mustn't get carried away. Let's get back to the point, which was, yeah, people call him a king. He gets called a magi too. Well, strictly speaking, magi are priests. But also, they're astrologers. They study the stars too. So that's how Melchior gets the title. Some people call him a wise man, him and his mates. Well, if you'd come on our latest expedition, you wouldn't call him wise. We certainly didn't. I dare not tell you what we called them. If you're going to visit Cousin Abinazar in Ur of the Chaldees, well, you know how far it is. You know how many days of camel riding it will take to get there. So, you know how much camel food to take. And you know where you're going to stop on the way, where you'll be safe for the night. Well, they got excited about a new star. Said it meant an important king had been born. Decided they should go and visit, pay their respects like. So, where were we going? Nobody knew. How long would it take to get there? Nobody knew. We were going to follow the star. Have you ever heard anything so ridiculous? We travel during the day when you can see bandits coming from miles away and get ready to deal with them. But no, if you're following a star, then, well, can you see stars during the day? No, neither can I. If you're following a star, you have to travel at night. Now, camels are used to walking on hot sand during the day. What they're not used to is walking on freezing cold sand at night. They didn't like it, not one bit. So my job was made a lot harder, persuading them to move at all. Well, I'd better get somebody proper to tell you what happened. Matthew, I think his name is, wrote it all down in a book.
In the time of Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at his rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a leader, a ruler, who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage. When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road.
Thank you. Do you think the three kings were wise? Joel certainly didn't think they were, but his priorities were different. The three wise men wanted to see this new special king. They went to great lengths to go and meet Jesus. Meeting Jesus, getting to know him, is one of the wisest things that we can do. Are we like the wise men? Do we go to great lengths to get to know Jesus? Well, we're going to look at three situations where God's wisdom is making a difference. And I've put some pictures together. I just wondered, Anne, if I give you a nod, then I'll wave or something. We haven't been very organised about this. I apologise. First, I'd like to tell you about a family that lives in Uganda, Joseph and Mary. That really is their names. And their three young children, Faith, Joy and Rachel. Now, this is a picture of a typical Ugandan family because I couldn't find a picture of the actual family. But this uplifting story comes from Tear Fund. Joseph and Mary both had extremely difficult childhoods. Joseph was physically abused by his stepmother after his father died. And when she tried to kill him, he ran away to the city. His life was precarious there, living on the streets. And then, when he was a teenager, Joseph decided it would be safer if he went back to the countryside. And that turned out to be a very wise decision. You see, Joseph had been separated from his birth mother as a baby. And after a lot of searching, Joseph found his mother. They set up home together with his brothers and sisters. But life was a struggle. It was hard to grow enough food, hard to earn money. Joseph looked around for a way to make a living and eventually found a job as a driver with a church that works with Tear Fund. Now he had a regular income to support his family and his confidence was boosted. Then Joseph's view of the world started to change as he got to know the staff and studied the Bible. You see, Joseph believed that God only cared about other people, not about him. But he began to realise that he was loved by God. He also started to view his resources in a new way, seeing that his time, energy and even the grass outside his home could be useful tools to improve life for his family. Newly inspired, Joseph, his mother and siblings all started to put more thought into how they farmed their small piece of land. First they started to grow more, and then they saved money. And then they branched out into breeding turkeys to sell at market. Soon they had enough money to be able to send the younger children to school for the first time. It was during this time that Joseph met Mary. She too had gone through a lot of suffering. So much suffering that she had been on her way to the river to drown herself when she met Joseph. Eventually they married and are now flourishing, loving and supporting one another. The family have gone from strength to strength, and today Joseph and Mary have a whopping 6,000 turkeys. There's just one of them. And these 6,000 turkeys provide them with a solid income. The world's wisdom would say, sit back and use your income to make life easier for your family. Keep all the profits for yourself. After all, you've earned it. Have a bigger house and easier life. That would be wise in the way of the world. But Joseph looks at things with God's eyes, using God's wisdom. So they share their good fortune by employing vulnerable young people on the farm, so that the transformation they have experienced benefits other people too. And they are saving up to build a new school for the village. It's Joseph's birthday on Christmas Eve. A typical young man might go into the city to celebrate with his friends, then home to have a party with his family. Joseph does go into the city, but he sits down to eat with the children who are living on the street, giving them gifts. "I know how it feels to not know where you belong," said Joseph. "We share some lunch, share personal stories with them, pray with them, share the word of God with them, help to reconcile them with those who have hurt them." Many end up going back to their homes. The most amazing part of this story is that Joseph came back into contact with his stepmother, the one who treated him so badly, the one who tried to kill him. The world would say, "Ignore her, you don't want anything to do with her." But Joseph was able to draw grace and strength from God, and he forgave her and built a new relationship with her. And now she lives with Joseph and his wider family. That takes God's wisdom. Our next story is much nearer to home and involves another family, Ruth, Andy, and their children, Jonas and Bethany. They live in North Manchester. Ruth and Andy were running a successful business, organising bespoke holidays for foreign visitors to Britain. Life was pretty good. Then they were inspired by God to give up their business and set up a play centre run on Christian principles in Partington. So where's Partington? Well, if you go to Sale and keep on going west, you'll come to Partington. But it's not like Sale, more like Withenshaw. It's one of the poorer areas of Manchester and it's quite isolated. On a wet day, there was nowhere for parents to take their children. So towards the end of 2018, the Hideaway came into being. But what were Ruth and Andy doing? Where's the wisdom in giving up well-paid jobs and taking the risk of setting up a completely new venture in a poor area? The world would see that as foolish. The Hideaway is so popular that in the school holidays you have to book in advance or you won't get in. There are lots of things for the children to play with. And on a Wednesday afternoon, grandparents or anybody can go without any children for afternoon tea. Partington has one of the highest rates of unemployment in the country. Many people have never had a job. The Hideaway deliberately set out to provide employment for these local people. You need an expert to run the kitchen, but the assistant cooks and the waiting staff are learning on the job, getting qualifications. But doesn't that just make your life difficult? Employing people who've never had a job, so aren't even used to getting to work on time. Yes, it is difficult. Foolish even to employ so many people with no experience of work. But by working at the Hideaway, people are gaining the dignity of earning their own money and learning how to work. Giving people back their sense of worth, that's wise in God's kingdom. Setting up a venture like this takes a lot of money. Over the year, Ruth and Andy have applied for grants from all sorts of places. You would expect Christian organisations to be generous in supporting a Christian venture, and they are. The local council is a different kettle of fish. It has a reputation for never giving money to any faith-based venture, so no point in applying to them for money. If you've ever applied for a grant, you'll know how much effort and paperwork goes into it. Ruth and Andy decided to go for it. They spent hours putting together their application to the council, sent it off in the post. and prayed. They were absolutely amazed when they got the response. They have been completely honest and transparent that this is a Christian venture. And the council gave them the grant. In the autumn, they got another grant to build an ark. Indoors and on the first floor. It's massive. How they got all the wood up the stairs, I have no idea. As you can see, this is an artist's impression, and I forgot when I was putting this together that I actually have pictures of the ark, and Anne's going to try and show those to you at the end of the service. The ark gives space for an office and lots of space to run courses, parenting, confidence building, first aid and computer skills. This first year has not been easy. There are constant cash flow problems. Ruth and Andy do a lot of praying. In the eyes of the world, they are foolish, but in God's kingdom, they are wise. Our third story brings us even closer to home and to a completely new venture. Our circuit, that's the group of churches that we belong to, is working towards setting up a CAP centre in Withenshaw. CAP, that's Christians Against Poverty. Living in poverty grinds you down. Being in debt is a constant worry. For some people, the debt just gets bigger and bigger, and they can't see any way out. Christians Against Poverty works with people to help them get out of debt. Experts look at their finances and show them how to manage their debt so that they can gradually reduce it and eventually be debt-free. They are given support through the whole process, encouraged to keep going when it's hard. How liberating it must be to be free of debt, to have learned how to budget so that when a bill comes in, you have the money in the bank to pay it. But where's the wisdom in all this? Surely if people have got into debt, it's their fault for being foolish and living beyond their means. Why not just leave them to stew in their own juice? Why give so much time and effort into helping such foolish people? Well, CAP says, we are on a mission to release thousands of families from grinding poverty. We're bringing hope to over 21,500 families every year. Isn't that remarkable? 21,500 families being helped every year. You would expect Justin Welby, the Archbishop of Canterbury, to be positive about a Christian venture. He says, CAP are serious, highly professional, deeply committed, and above all, they treat you as a human being of infinite value. When a money-saving expert says something, you know that he's being absolutely realistic. And this is what Martin Lewis says. CAP are unsurpassed when it comes to the debt help they give people across the country. This money-saving expert says that CAP is doing an excellent job. And we can get involved. We can support the CAP Centre in Withenshaw with our money. We might be able to be one of the people who supports clients through the long process of getting debt free. In the eyes of the world, this would be foolish. There are more enjoyable ways to spend your time, and you could use your money to treat yourself. But in God's kingdom, helping people to be free of debt is wise indeed. The three kings were wise in seeking for Jesus. Will we follow their example? We've heard about three situations where people are choosing to be wise in God's kingdom. What will we choose to do to be wise in God's kingdom this year? To lead us into our prayers for the world, we're going to sing number 194, Child of Joy and Peace. Let's stand as we are able and sing number 194. In our prayers for the world, there will be short times of silence, which will be followed by a response. When I say, Light of Christ, I invite you to respond with, Shine in our lives. Light of Christ, shine in our lives. Let us pray. Father God, we give thanks to you for your love towards all peoples of the world. You have chosen to give yourself to us all and invite us to give ourselves to you. Blessed are you, Lord God, for all things come from you. We come in our poverty to your riches, in our foolishness to your wisdom, in our sorrows to your healing joy. Light of Christ, shine in our lives. As we remember the wise men, we pray for the rich and the comfortable, all who have plenty of this world's good things. May they know that all things come from you, and their lives are a gift from you. May the riches of the world be put to good use. We remember the world's poor, the homeless, and the hungry. Light of Christ, shine in our lives. We pray for all who are seekers, who search for the truth, who look for meaning, and who desire to know you. We pray for those who are new to our church or community. We pray for Christians who are suffering oppression and pray that they will be free to worship you openly. Light of Christ, shine in our lives. We give thanks for all who come to you in worship, all who are aware of awe or majesty or mystery in their lives. We pray for leaders of worship, choirs and organists. We pray for all who give us a sense of wonder and beauty. Light of Christ, shine in our lives. We praise you for the inspiring stories we have heard today. We praise you for the story of Mary and Joseph, which shows the power of your love, reconciliation and hope, and your ability to restore lives through the church, through us. We pray for Joseph, Mary, their children and the rest of the family. We pray that they will continue to flourish so they can lead secure and fulfilled lives, as well as reaching out to help others. We ask your blessing on Tear Fund and all other aid agencies. Father, give them the wisdom they need as they work to see lives changed and poverty overcome. Light of Christ, shine in our lives. We praise you for the story of Ruth and Andy, such an example of the wisdom of putting our trust in you. We praise you that they have the wisdom to follow your call, to be like Abraham and make a radical change in their lives. We praise you that they have the wisdom to rely totally on you to provide the finance for their venture. We praise you for the changes they have seen in the people they employ, especially for their growing in faith. We praise you that they keep coming back to you for inspiration for the next step in their venture. light of Christ shine in our lives. We praise you for Christians Against Poverty, for their tireless work to help people get out of debt. We pray for the new CAP Centre in Withenshaw. Lord, we ask you to bless the interviews for a centre manager. You know who would be the right person for that job, so we ask you to inspire him or her to apply. We pray for wisdom for the panel doing the interviews. And Father, we pray for ourselves. We have heard these stories of wisdom, wisdom that goes against the views of the world. We ask you to give us wisdom, the wisdom of your kingdom, so that we can lead lives that are pleasing to you. Light of Christ, shine in our lives. We come to you with all who are in pain or sorrow. We remember the people of Australia suffering from devastating fires. We remember those whose sickness finds no cure, those who are permanently ill, those with a short time to live. We pray for doctors and nurses and all who are involved in healing and caring. And we bring to God all those we know who need to be blessed by him today. Light of Christ, shine in our lives. Lord, we worship and adore you. We offer you our joys and sorrows, our sickness and health, our riches and our poverty. We remember all who have enriched our lives by their goodness. We pray for loved ones who are now in the fullness of your kingdom. Light of Christ, shine in our lives. Amen. We bring our prayers together as we say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please could we take up the offertory. Father God, As the wise men brought gifts to Jesus, so we bring these gifts to you. We offer them as symbols of our lives dedicated to your service. May they be used wisely to bring your kingdom here in Wilmslow. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 178. Long ago, prophets knew Christ would come. Let's stand as we are able and sing number 178. Jesus comes, Jesus comes, we will make him welcome. Lord Jesus, you have called us to know you, to love you, and to serve you. Give us the wisdom, strength, and courage to trust you, obey you, and walk with you all our days. Amen. Let's bless each other with the words of the grace. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.